and that's part of just a different branch of NOAA, but we all work together during times of potential landfall. So did you want some more information about kind of what's going on with Tropical Storm Cindy?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things, the track has been pretty steady, and one of the things that you folks have done very well, and we were talking about this, I've been covering these storms since Hurricane Andrew 25 years ago, and the tracking of these storms by your researchers has gotten exponentially better. So I'm not so worried about the tracking of it, but worried about these outer bands. I know folks in Florida probably were surprised. They probably were looking at the track of the storm, where it was starting, and maybe a little surprised at the amount of rain and surf they got on the Gulf Coast of Florida. But what are those bands going to do as the storm continues to track toward the state line here?
Well, since we're kind of seeing a weakening system, we're not really expected to see much of the convection near your area in Louisiana, but it's looking more of a subtropical type of system, so it's going to be more widespread, and a lot of the outer bands are going to be hitting places that are a little farther away from the center. So the track, as you've mentioned, has been very good, and it's expected to be a very good forecast. But there is still potential for basically the entire central and eastern Gulf Coast to have very heavy rain, potential flooding, and I believe a lot of places are even in tornado watch situations.
Yeah.
So in any situation, even if you don't see rainfall, there could be thunderstorms that pop up that might have the potential to rotate.
Absolutely. Again, I'm not sure if you're familiar with our coast. It's a little bit more fragile than much of the rest of the Gulf Coast, especially toward Florida. But, we're much lower lying, even going inland. New Iberia, where I'm at right now, we're about 18 feet high here, and that's considered high ground within coastal Louisiana. So many of our areas that have been devastated in the past by storms like Rita and Ike are certainly concerned about those high tides and the rain that might fall at the same time those tides are high.
Right, right, and that's totally understandable. I've heard a little bit about the coastline, the sediment problems, but as I'm not a citizen of the Gulf Coast and I'm not from there, I don't probably know as much as some of the citizens there about the problems that have been occurring. But I do know that as this system approaches land, there will be more and more rain. So there's an even higher potential for flooding in not just the panhandle of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, but maybe even Louisiana as well.
Very good. Well, not very good necessarily. not rooting for it by any means, but I appreciate the info. How about the storm season as a whole? This is the third named storm. First one, rather early storm back in April, and then Brett kind of fizzled out just as it was approaching land. Have we learned anything from these first three named storms?
So the climatology of hurricanes is pretty hard to pinpoint just because we don't have a lot of history, basically because satellites have only been around for, half a century or so. So we don't have a very long history of data for hurricanes. But with the research that we've been able to accumulate, we've been able to figure out that this season is forecasted to be a potentially more active season. But keep in mind, though, that just because it's more or less active doesn't mean there will be more or less landfalling hurricanes or tropical storms. As you mentioned for Hurricane Andrew, that you were kind of involved in that, I don't know if you knew much about the season itself, but that was predicted to be, and very well predicted to be, a low activity season, and Hurricane Andrew just so happened to track in the right direction, have the right forces of nature going for it to cause a lot of devastation. So, yeah, we might be in for a very active season, but that doesn't mean it's more of a cause for concern than any other season, because there's just an equally likely chance that something, that a storm might develop very quickly or very, very intensely.
Yeah, one of the things we like to say, it only takes one to ruin your summer, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, and Andrew was, obviously, by virtue of its name, the first named storm. I believe it was the only named storm that season, but what a whack it was.
Oh, yes.
Indeed. Well, again, anything else you can tell us about this storm that we might not otherwise know at this point?
I believe that as long as you keep in touch with your National Weather Service local offices and stay in tune to watches and warnings that they produce, that you will be very prepared for this. And as you know, the potential for damage is mostly due to maybe flooding and severe weather. You'll likely get maybe about 50-mile-an-hour winds maybe around mid-afternoon today, but it's not supposed to be any more or less intense than it is now. And you are under a tornado watch. I just confirmed that. So just be aware for popping up thunderstorms and, you know, just pay attention to what the local offices are saying to you.
Real good. I used to give Dr. Greg grief about what does a guy in Colorado know about hurricanes? And he would remind me one of the reasons why they were there to be out of harm's way of storms so they could continue to work on them. But how does a girl from the Midwest fall in love with watching hurricanes?
That's kind of a funny story. So as a child, the movie Twister came out, which I hope that most of your listeners and yourself do know the difference between a tornado and a hurricane. But at the time, I was only, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, and I really wanted to be a tornado chaser. Well, my parents didn't really like that idea because it's very, very dangerous. And I was a little smart aleck sometimes and decided I was going to figure out how to chase storms and not be in a very dangerous situation, to which I found out that you can actually chase hurricanes, and there's never been any crashes and no deaths in chasing hurricanes themselves. So that's what led me to Miami, and so now during the hurricane season, I can go with the NOAA Hurricane Hunters to collect data for, you know, various hurricanes or tropical storms that might be making landfall. I was in Hurricane Matthew last year, and we collect data and measurements of the atmosphere to further understand how a hurricane intensifies.
Very good. You know, that's one of the things growing up where we did, not unusual for a tornado, and they can be pretty selective as far as their damage is concerned, but at least a hurricane, you have a chance to prepare for. You generally know that it's coming.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And as you've said, we've gotten a lot better at predicting approximately where a hurricane is going to make landfall if it does.
Very good. Okay, I need to know what millibars mean.
Millibars are a unit of pressure, so you probably have heard of, you know, PSI, you know,
sure.
You know, millimeters of mercury. It's kind of the same type of thing. It's just a standard unit that we use globally to measure how high or low the pressure is.
At what point do I panic about millibars in regards to hurricanes?
Well, I'd say panicking is not the action to probably take, just because panicking doesn't really lead you to much, you know, much safety. But it really just depends on the hurricane and where you are located within the wind field, and your local Weather Service office would be best, you know, the best person to, or best office to determine whether or not you should be evacuating. So definitely follow evacuation orders. If they don't issue an evacuation order, just make sure you have a hurricane kit prepared with, you know, food and water in case electricity goes down, you know, just prepare for what they expect for to happen.
At this point, do you expect any more hurricane hunters over this storm?
So the Air Force Reserve naturally does missions during times where there is a storm that's approaching land, but the NOAA Hurricane Hunters are not they're not chasing this storm in particular.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, again, Kelly, I appreciate your checking back with us. Enjoy this season as much. I hope, like I do, that I don't have to do any more hurricane coverage this year, but I know for those of you whose passion it is, you do it safely.
We definitely do it safely, and we, you know, we definitely hope for minimal damage and, you know, property loss in any season, every season. So we're just lucky that this one was not able to come together and become something really major.
And is there any reason to think, again, it started in the Yucatan, certainly had plenty of time and space. And I was a little concerned when it was sitting, you know, yesterday, what, from about 4 till 7 o'clock, didn't have a lot of movement. Was there at any time concern that it would have the potential to build up at that point when it became kind of stationary?
No, not really. And the reason is because just to the west of the storm, and for a while now, there's been a big pocket of dry air, and dry air inhibits the ability for a hurricane to develop or intensify. So all of that dry air was getting sucked into the core and not allowing it to become stronger.
Very good. Well, again, appreciate the insight. Best of luck throughout the rest of the season. Maybe we check in with you again should a need arise.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Bye-bye. You bet.